Hi, welcome to Tech Savvy on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Elisa Sharton, and today we're talking about all things blogging. I'm really excited about our guests that we have here today. They're all proficient bloggers. Our first guest is Kyle Aldous. He's graduated from BYU with a degree in public relations. He's the public relations and marketing director for Blick and Staffs.
Yeah.
And he is a breakdancing guru. He teaches breakdancing classes yeah. all over the valley, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And yes, ma'am. And you have a street cred name.
Yeah, B-Boy Justified.
B-Boy Justified. Yeah. That's awesome. And actually, you're really good. I have watched it on your blog.
Thank you.
It when you put it up on your blog.
Thank you.
And Veronica Johnson, we're so glad you're here. She owns the local community hotspots where she is is passionate about local businesses and promoting local businesses. And she does that on Local Community Hotspots. And then her personal blog is Welcome to My Chaos. Yes, I like that one. That's my life. And Ken Craig, the local comedian from Vegas, right? You were in the Garens for BYU. Their first version of Second City, right?
That's right.
That's
yes,
right.
The original version. Yeah.
And you work for a technology company. Is that right? No. Yeah.
Well, they manufacture a technologically advanced product.
There's where the technology.
Concrete, yeah.
There you go. All right, and they just relocated to Utah, right?
Yeah, in Pleasant Grove.
So you'll be moving up here soon? I don't know. Maybe not. There we go. Well, let's talk about blogging. You know, I've heard a lot of people don't understand still what blogging is, and I had somebody tell me that it was a narcissistic hobby. What do you guys think about that?
It's more of a cathartic hobby.
Yeah,
so it's a way for me, when I look at it, it's a way for me to get my thoughts that are up there. My mind kind of never stops. And it's a way for you to put what's up there into something a little more tangible.
Oh, I like the cathartic hobby a lot. What do you think, Ken?
I find it the same way. I started writing because a group of us from college who used to all get together and tell stories, you know, the minutiae of each day.
Right.
And then now that we're all spread apart, it was like this, hey, why don't we kind of keep telling stories to each other, but do it, you know, via blogging.
Blog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we started doing it. And it was a fun way to kind of tell each other stories and keep up to date. And so for me, it's always been kind of a storytelling cathartic hobby to
sure.
To have.
How long have you been blogging?
Since 2005.
Oh, so a little while.
Yes.
Yeah. I started in 2003 when all they had was LiveJournal.
Oh.
Yeah, back in the olden days of blogging. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been blogging, Veronica?
Since 2008. I'm just a newbie, apparently,
yeah.
in this group.
Welcome.
Thanks.
We're so glad you drank the Kool-Aid. Thank you for joining us, Veronica. How do you feel about blogging, though, when someone says it's a narcissistic hobby?
To me, it's about sharing something. And also, it's important to me because I feel like I'm doing a little bit of my own family history because mainly in Welcome to My Chaos, I blog about my family, my kids, what we're doing, what's going on in our lives. And my sisters have blogs, so we love to read each other's blogs and keep up on things that are going on.
That's awesome. My sister is the one that got us all started in blogging when her husband was having a kidney transplant, and it was really difficult to have to repeat the story over and over and over again. So she started a blog where every day she would put a daily update about her husband on there so we could all just go to the blog and have a central location to hear about how Matthew was doing.
That's very common.
And that is very common where people use the blogs to record tragedies, but also I liked what you talked about, how you're recording your personal histories. Your future generations will thank you for recording the minutiae of
your
day.
My kids don't me all the time. They're scared.
I'm sure.
Don't put that on the blog, Mom.
But think about it. I'm sure that our pioneer ancestors thought what they were recording longhand in their journals was the minutiae of their day, but we view it as a treasure trove of information, and really that's what we're doing when we're taking the time to use our cathartic hobby. I like that a lot. It is helping us record for future generations. So tell me, are there any benefits besides being cathartic for you that you've felt from blogging?
It's fun to go back and see how you've changed.
Oh.
I can go back at my blog and look a couple years ago and see the experiences that shaped me into who I am now. And I can go back and see the old breakdancing videos that I post up and go, oh man, I was so terrible back then. And just like I can see that kind of change in the progress I've made, you can see the changes and the different events that kind of ultimately shape who you are. And just like a journal, it's nice to be able to go back and go, oh man, I remember that it was this experience that was kind of that turning point and helped me, you know, either change things for the better, or that was when I really dropped off and things got ugly, you know, either way.
Well, and don't you find yourself, when you read the posts that you've written in the past, you relive those emotions again when powerful. Yeah. There's even been posts from other bloggers that I've read that have like stuck with me for days and days afterwards. I find myself thinking about, because it's evoked such an emotion in me that I think about it in a positive way. Has that ever happened with you?
Yeah, there'll be, especially if, a lot of the blogs that I read will be people I know. Mm-hmm. And so I have a, you know, network of friends that I like to keep up with. And then also, if they refer me to something, there's a trust there. I know it's something worth reading. And there'll be stories. A lot of times parenting, I'm, you know,
in the throes.
Yeah. So if whether it's insightful or touching or inspiring in some way, then I'll soak that in and think about it for some
well
time.
And you bond over these words that are being shared, and you're commenting, and you realize that you're not alone in maybe the trials that you're facing or the struggles that you're working through when you have people comment on your blog or when you read other people's blogs. Has that helped you in any way, Veronica?
Sometimes it just serves to let me know that I really don't have it that bad. The things that I read out there, I think, wow, I'm so glad I'm not dealing with that. It's the whole, if we put our trials in a pile, you take your own back. It kind of puts me into perspective sometimes, but a real benefit that I've seen from blogging for me personally is friends. Mm. You jump, like you mentioned, from one blog to the next, or get referred from a friend or to another blog, and I've made so many friends. Bloggers love to congregate and get together in real life. And so the friends that I have made through blogging have become part of my real life. Mm. And so we see each other often, and it's just neat. Plus, I have the friends that are still a long ways away, but I know that they're there if I need them.
Mm-hmm. How do you come up with content for your blogs?
Everyday life.
Yeah. It's really just what's happening. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the smallest thing. It's like watching an episode of Seinfeld, the show that's about nothing. You may feel that it's nothing that's going on in your life, but writing about those little things and how they tie into certain experiences, that is what you write about. It's all the little stuff.
The little stuff is what makes up the big stuff.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll see a sign or something on the side of the road that just cracks me up, and I think, to share that, you know, because I know that my readers will find it funny, because if they are going to read me, then they probably have a pretty similar sense of humor.
Yeah, that's true.
To mine.
You know your audience.
Yeah.
How do you make your content become influential then? If you can figure out what it is that you like and you're having your content, then how do you make people want to read your content?
You looking at me?
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
The style on my blog is, again, mostly storytelling, not a lot of opinion pieces or anything like that. And so, I consider my writing, I guess, humorous. Mm-hmm. And so if it's a story that is humor by nature, it's a funny story, then I'll go ahead and tell it. And if it's something that I want to share because it's something that left an impression on me, I will try to weave humor into it. And so a lot of times I think anyone who comes to my blog is expecting it to be a funny story rather than, inspiring. I don't know if I'm that inspiring, but I will. But that's how I will try and, hey, if you've come here to read something.
No, but you know what I do like about your blog is you're funny. But I always find an element of your testimony being expressed through your writing. I know your belief system, and it's very firm, and I think that's individually about each of your blogs when I looked at them.
I think Kyle's a great example of
that. Kyle's is fantastic about that. He takes his blog's called Lycan 365, and he takes his scripture from that day that he read and figures out how to liken that scripture that he read that day to what happened in his life that day. And that's a fantastic way to help proclaim the gospel in a non-threatening, pushy way. I really think that's the beauty of blogging, is you're writing about, yes, your minutia or nothing, but in a way you're expressing your belief systems and your testimonies.
Yeah, which I love. I love, and that's an excellent point. I think that is the most organic a way to share what you believe is, you know, unless you're a full-time missionary, not every conversation that you have is about the church, but your beliefs is
who you are.
Yeah, who you are, your character, and your belief system is interwoven into your life, and so it can come out organically, so that you know, people will.
I see things on blogs all the time, not just in your stories is it woven in, but you can make your blog look however you want. And I see Families Are Forever buttons, mm-hmm. or I Belong,
or
and
I
pictures
believe.
Of the temple.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm a Mormon.
I'm
yeah.
a Mormon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or links, you know, check yeah. out my I'm a Mormon profile or whatever.
Mormon.org, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're certainly not shying away from it, nor
no.
should we, you know, apologizing
it's
for what you believe.
A blogger's so. Space is their space.
It's their living room.
It's their living room. If I wouldn't walk into their living room and say it to them, I'm not going to comment like that on their blog. You mm-hmm. know, I wouldn't leave something like that on a comment.
Yeah.
And if I don't like what I see on the blog, then I probably wouldn't like being in their house, and I just leave mm-hmm. and go to the next one.
So how hard is it to set up a blog? It's, I mean, it was. Do you have to be super tech savvy to set
yes.
up a blog? No.
No.
Wrong answer. No, really. Was it difficult for you to set up a blog?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Let's walk our viewers through setting up a blog right here. And our display name, which would be when we write a post... it would be what written by. Should we just have it be tech savvy?
Sure.
Okay. And then we're going to go right over here to the continue button. We went to blogger.com, and I used my email address and set it up. Now we have a blog. So we're going to create a blog now. Just push that big blue button. And our blog title, let's have it be... tech savvy. This is so easy. Then you're going to come down here to have your be your blog URL. One thing I always tell people when I teach these classes is if you don't want everybody to Google you and you want to have a little bit of privacy, then don't use kencraig.com or Veronica Johnson. Use some sort of something that would make your life a little bit more private. Here, I think that we should just have it be LDS Tech Savvy. And then it would be .blogspot.com. And then it's going to check and see if it's... Look, it's totally available. So let's just pick a simple blog outline here. And our blog has now been created. It was that easy. It took us, 2.5 minutes to create the Tech Savvy blog for our website. And there you go. And here's your first post. And we can write it... You put your title in there. And we'll write Tech Savvy. And then all you have to do to make that be viewable is we'll hit publish. There's our blog. Easy peasy. There's tons of templates that you can choose that you don't have to even be a graphic designer to go in there and do. I mean, they have all sorts of things that just look absolutely fantastic. And then all of a sudden you have a blog. And you can start going out and putting your history on so that you have things to share with your family and your friends. What kinds of things are appropriate and inappropriate to blog about? Let's talk about inappropriate things first, because that's fun. What kinds of things should you really not blog about, do you think? Or do you have boundaries?
Well, I think like Veronica said, when you say your blog is your living room, mm-hmm. it should be... the things that that's your story, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, recognizing the privacy of other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's your story. It's your living room.
You can also stipulate whether you want the whole world to be able to read your blog or just invited friends and family.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You can there's three levels of security. You can have a password-protected blog. You can have a blog where Google can't crawl, mm-hmm. but if you give them the URL, then it's accessible,
mm-hmm.
or one that Google crawls and everybody can read. So you can choose the level of privacy that you want for your blog. How do you determine, Kyle, what you will and won't write about?
You know, I try and use things. I use a lot of personal examples from my own life, and so I'm willing to just kind of let it all hang out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I use a lot of really personal things. But if there are things that I think that involve other people or perhaps are too personal in nature, sometimes those things they are a little more sacred, and I try and keep them that way.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I just let it all out there. And
when you write, do you write with? I guess this is a two-part question. Do you write thinking about the people that are reading it, and do you write thinking about ways that you can express your beliefs in Christ in a way that would be natural and, to use your word, organic?
You know, I try and keep everything, all my posts I try and make as sincere as possible. And sincerity is what, I don't write to try and draw more readers in. Mm-hmm. I just put myself out there. If they like what they read, welcome to my world. Mm-hmm. If not, then they'll go and find another blog to read. But I try and do everything as very transparent and sincere as possible so that people know, hey, this is the real Kyle. Mm-hmm. And you can get to know me through my blog because I post personal things on there.
Have you had people say to you, gosh, I feel like I know you, and all I do is read your blog?
Yeah, in fact, I have people now who have emailed me, who I've never met before, who somehow found my blog and have said, hey, you know, there's a story, or here's a story you told that I found that kind of helped me through a difficult situation. And to me, that's, oh, whoa, how'd you even find me? I don't know you.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that somehow a little piece of my life was able to help you with your life. Mm-hmm. And then you create these friendships that, you know, they start to impact you as well.
Yeah, and then you have these online relationships that then become offline.
Yeah, and then you meet them and go, oh my goodness, just as I pictured you.
Exactly. So you have boundaries. What about with your teenagers?
Yeah,
you have teenagers.
Teenagers, most of it I have to think, would he be embarrassed or would they be embarrassed if I put this up there? And so I'm careful with that. You know, I still do some things, but I try and, if I'm going to embarrass my kids, I don't let my readers know which kid did it. Mm. How's that?
I like that, yeah.
They can all share the blame so one doesn't feel like that. When I put pictures up, I'm really careful if there's their friends in there. I don't put their friends' pictures, you know, because maybe their parents don't want that. If I do, I ask the parent first. Hey, look, I've got a picture here. It's going on my blog. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. I'm just careful. And I don't put pictures of my house with my house number because, mm-hmm. you know, there's stalkers out there. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who was anonymous for a long time, and she had a false name or a pseudonym that she would write under. Mm-hmm. And she had people, everyone wanted to know who this girl was. They wanted to know her real name. And that was like the talk at the blogger events. Well, so do you know this person? Do you know that person?
Do you know what she looks like?
Yeah. Do you know, have you seen her? What do you think? Who do you think it is? And there are lots of anonymous blogs out there that always remain anonymous. But most of the ones I've seen, they finally own up to it. It wasn't that it was a negative thing, just they wanted their privacy.
Yeah. Should we out myself? It was me.
That would be your choice. And I would be the stalker.
It's right. It's true. But the friendships that happened because of the blogging, and that's how we became friends, all of us became friends, was through these online relationships of reading the words that each other writes. Words are powerful. They evoke emotion. You can have, you know, strong negative emotions and strong, powerful, good emotions. So how do you choose what words you're going to use to bring about the sharing of the gospel?
You know, one of the things that we're taught when we write for PR is to show, don't tell. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the words that I try and use are words that show that I have a testimony, as opposed to me going, here is my wonderful testimony.
Right.
I try and show experiences that perhaps demonstrate that I do have a testimony about different principles in the gospel. Mm-hmm. So it's more, for me, it's more about, okay, let me show you through different examples and let the imagery and the words that I use to describe those examples show you that I have a testimony, as opposed to, I'd like to bear my testimony. I'm grateful for my family.
Right.
Yeah.
I think what Kyle said also, I like the point that it's that you try to be sincere, because I think people know when they're being sold something.
Yeah.
And so if you're being sincere and it is a natural, you know, experience that you've had that you want to share, then it's, I think it is more powerful than when you are trying to, you know, in public relations, they also spin things the way that you want it to go. And I think people are sensitive to that. And
for sure.
Also, though, as much as what you do say or how you say it, it's what you don't say, too. If you want to be able to share the gospel through this window into your life, then you have to make sure that you are upholding the standards, you know?
Yes.
When I come across foul language on a blog or something like that, it's just a turn off to me. Mm-hmm. And
or people who are even venomous towards some experience they had at church or in life. Then. Mm-hmm.
So be a good example and make sure you're consistent. That's another thing for your readers, and you asked earlier how to keep them reading, and it's be consistent and also be concise, and photographs don't hurt.
Oh, no, they don't hurt at all. I love this quote from Elder Nelson from the October conference in 2010. He said, "Now, in this day of the internet, there are new and exciting ways that you can do things. You can invite friends and neighbors to visit the newmormon.org website. If you have blogs and online social networks, you could link your sites to mormon.org. And there you could create your own personal profile. Each profile includes an expression of belief, an experience, and a testimony. Because of this new feature, most of these profiles are available in English, and profiles in other languages will follow. These profiles can have a profound influence for good." I have a Mormon.org profile. Have you taken the time to set one up?
Yeah,
have you, Veronica?
Not yet.
I haven't yet either.
Oh, you guys need to do that. It was really fun because it had a whole bunch of questions. So this is my blog, and I have right on the front and center of my blog, my profile, I believe. What was so fun about this is they ask you all sorts of questions. You can pick and choose what it is that you want to answer, and it really helped me be concise about my testimony and the things that I was believing in and expressing. So I talked in here about who I was and what I liked to do, and then if you scroll down, I answered why I'm a Mormon, and then how I live my faith and the things that I do. And then I talked about Relief Society because I love Relief Society. And I have a testimony of Relief Society and visiting teaching, and so I wanted to talk about that. Those were one of the questions that you could answer. And you can answer more if you want to answer more. Those were the ones that I chose to answer. And it's such an easy way to go in and share your belief with a button on your blog that takes you to something that's about you and who it is that you believe. Our readers are reading our blogs because of who we are. They want to know more about us. So it's an easy way for us to share our testimony because they know, okay, if I go click on this I believe button, I'm going to find out what her faith is and what it is about her faith. And it's a fantastic way for us to be able to share our testimonies that way. Let's talk about blog posts that have affected you for good or for bad. We talked about, there was one, I read a blog on a crafting blog of all places where she just said, I want to put away all the crafts for a little bit and talk about the phrase, I didn't have time. And she wrote this whole post about how I didn't have time. You know, that's when somebody asks you to do something and then they come back to check in you. Oh, I've been really busy. I didn't have time to do that. And she said, really what we're saying is it wasn't a priority. And that really affected me when I read that. And I thought about it for months afterwards. Every time I'd find myself saying, oh, I've been really busy. I didn't have time to do that. In my head, I was hearing it wasn't a priority. And that really resonated with me to help me maybe realign my priorities so they would be better. Have you ever experienced anything like that in your life where you read something that just kind of made you maybe shift things or made you feel some emotion?
Actually, not too long ago, I started reading the Nini Dialogues. Mm-hmm. And I saw a post, and actually on the side of her little sidebar, she's got a video that's like an I'm a Mormon video. My goodness, when I watch that, I don't typically tear up when I read these blogs, because usually I try and read the funny ones. But when I watched that, I got just a strong, strong feeling. And I was so touched by her story. And the same goes for, you know, you can read any blog and find any story, and everyone's got their own inspirational tales to tell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just daily you can find people who will inspire you to, you know, look at your life and go, you know what, I'm going to try and be just a little bit better today. Mm-hmm. And that was what that one that in particular did for me. That day, I remember thinking, oh, man, I, you know what, I can be a little bit better today. Mm-hmm.
And sort of live in the moment. That's what I take from her blog specifically is I can enjoy today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's actually what I was thinking of as well. I'm friends with the Clarks, which was Stephanie's maiden name before she got married, before she was Stephanie Nielsen, and good friends with her brother, Chris. And when that incident happened and it became very well known throughout the blog world, and that was maybe the first time I had the experience where, oh, this is more than just storytelling. So much good, so much community outreach, yes, or things can happen there. And that I did. I wanted to tune in and see, how is she doing? How is the family doing? And to find out, to keep follow that story. And I do, and like Veronica said, I enjoy posts where it's someone overcoming a hardship or in the midst of it and trying to get through it, because it does. It
makes you feel not alone.
Yeah. And just aware of somebody and aware of someone's faith in dealing with such a crisis. So.
That's exactly what I was thinking, aware. Mm-hmm. And like Kyle said, it makes me feel like, do a little better, be a little better.
Yeah.
But also not only just aware of the person that you're reading about, but aware of others around you, because they've let you into their life just that little bit. And then the other people, you think, yeah, she has a story or he has a story.
Everyone has a story to tell. We just have to take the time to listen to what it is that they have to tell us and what they have to offer us. And the thing I loved what you said when you read it, you got emotional. And when I'm reading someone's words and I feel the spirit, I love that, because I know that it's an experience strictly with me and Heavenly Father speaking straight to my soul, mm-hmm, not because somebody else has said something or I've heard a pretty song or I've heard these amazing words. It's me reading something and the Holy Ghost testifying that what I've read is true. And that's the beauty of blogging. You know, we can take the minutiae of our day and record it and figure out how in a subtle way we can bear our testimonies and with the minutia, so that other people will read our words and feel the spirit. That's more powerful than, you know, the I'd like to bear my testimony. I know my blog is true. Yeah. You know, I really think that's the, if you remember, a lot of our general authorities in the last four or five general conferences have talked about sharing our testimonies online and using our blogs for good and to be a good source of good on the internet. And that's really what we're doing with our blogs. We're recording our family history. We're trying to share our testimonies. And the other thing I really think is it's helped me, I don't know if it's done this for you, to look at life differently. I don't have to look at it negatively, but I look at it positively, and it's in a different light. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad that we could come and talk about my favorite hobby, my cathartic hobby, which is blogging. I'm so glad to have my friends here, Ken and Veronica and Kyle. And thank you for joining us today on Tech Savvy on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you go to mormonchannel.org, under Tech Savvy, you can find this podcast and any others that you can download and listen to. And we'll see you next time.